Open your Bibles, please, to the book of John, the 14th chapter. John chapter 14 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1136. We'll be reading a verse at a time, four of them within the book of John and another one in the book of Ephesians. So after reading together the 16th verse, I will direct you to the other verses in turn. First of all, John chapter 14, verse 16, and page 1136 in your Scofield Bible. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Let's read together, please, the 16th verse. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And verse 26 of the same chapter, let's read. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Chapter 15, verse 26, let's read. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now chapter 16 and verse 7. Let's read. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now the book of Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 30. Page 1254 in your Scofield Bible. The 30th verse of the 4th chapter of Ephesians. Let's read together, please. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this summer day. We thank you for the privilege of meeting indoors here where we're comfortable. We appreciate further the fact that we're free. We thank you for the fact of our salvation. Those of you of us who can unite our hearts in thanksgiving for the wondrous grace of mercy, that which we have in thee, redeemed by thy Son Jesus. Thank you. But thank you for your word, and we thank you for these scriptures this morning. And we pray that you'd teach us from thy word and through our preacher. Give us attentiveness to all of the message, and give us hearts that are hungry for thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's a little later than usual this morning. I promise you, as I do often, we're a bit late. I will not be preaching 1 minute past 12:10, and we will close the service while we're baptizing before 12:30. That's a promise, and you know I always keep that promise. I'm a little later than usual this morning. I talked too much a while ago. My false teeth are broken. I borrowed a set of Mrs. Hiles's, and so I've talked more this morning than I normally would have talked. I'm choosing Father's Day to make that insult. I know she's going to treat me right on Father's Day, and she'll never fight back. And but I want to, you're here this morning, and you're going to be here for the next 30 minutes or so anyway. Now you may as well listen, because I got something to tell you that'll change your life. I mean that, and you listen carefully. Our Heavenly Father, the thing I want more than I want any other thing in the world is to be a blessing to people. I've never asked you in all these years to make me an eloquent preacher to my people. I've never asked you to make me a good preacher. But I've asked you 100 times at least this week to help me be a blessing. But it's truth that makes blessings. And I have a truth this morning that can be a blessing. May I have your help. I promise I'll pay attention to you. May the people pay attention to me. Amen. Listen carefully as I lay the foundation for my sermon this morning. in John chapter 14, in verse 16, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. Now, I promise if you listen to the first few minutes, you'll want to know the rest of what I'm going to say. The Holy Spirit is called in John 14, 16, the Comforter. The same thing is true in John 14, 26, in John 15, 26, and in John 16, 7, he's called the Comforter. Now, if you look at a lexicon or even at Vine's Expository Dictionary, New Testament words, you'll find that the word Comforter there means many synonyms for it. Perhaps the best synonym for the word Comforter is the word Encourager. Don't miss it. Encourager. The Holy Spirit is my Encourager and your Encourager. Now don't forget that. That's John 14 and verse 16 and 26 and John 15, 26, John 16, 7. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter or the Encourager. Say it, the what? Encourager. Say it again, the what? Encourager. All right. Now let's leave that before we come back to it in a few minutes. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now that word grieve, I checked that word grieve, and that word grieve also means the opposite of encourager. It means discourage. Discourage not the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? God says the Holy Spirit is my encourager. And then he admonishes me not to discourage the Holy Spirit. The title of my message this morning is, Don't Discourage Your Encourager. For if you discourage your encourager, your encourager cannot encourage you because he's discouraged. You understand me? I'm saying, don't discourage the person who's supposed to encourage you. Another meaning for this, the word comforter means one who comes to pick us up when we've fallen. So what he's saying is, when he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, he's saying, don't knock down the one who's supposed to pick you up. For he can't pick you up if you knock him down. Now, the teaching is, don't discourage those who are supposed to be your encouragers. And don't pull down those who pick you up. Let me illustrate. I know a man in a church in the South whose pastor seemed to be struggling in his preaching. And the people began to feel the pastor was not preaching with the fervor that he ought to have. And this man heard some complaints about it. So this man decided he was going to launch a campaign for the people to say amen. He went to key men in that church and said, let's start saying amen. And let's start responding to the preacher. And he started a campaign, and some of these men started saying amen, amen. And that encouraged the preacher. When that encouraged the preacher, people started talking about, our preacher's preaching better than ever before. Why? Because people need to encourage the one that's supposed to encourage them. Now, this is true concerning husband and wife. I know a preacher, for example. He went home, and please be seated now back in the back. Please be seated back in the back. Hey, don't be seated back in the back, please. No walking around. I got something to tell you, and everybody needs to listen to me. So listen carefully to me. I know a preacher who would go home and tell his wife all the burdens of the day. Now, a woman is supposed to encourage her husband. You got that? You got that? You got that? You got that? And a woman is supposed to encourage her husband. But this preacher would go home and tell her all the church problems. And in fact, they're about to lose their job. And the deacons had a special meeting. They were about to fire us. We don't know where we'll live. And then he'd pull her down. And then he'd say to her, you're supposed to encourage me. You see, are you listening to me? He was discouraging his encourager. Now, the truth is, everybody needs encouraging. But if you discourage the guy that's supposed to encourage you, you're going to be discouraged.
Now, the formula is this. She encourages him to encourage her, to encourage him, to encourage her, to encourage him, to encourage her, to encourage him, to encourage her. You say, who's supposed to start it? You. You are. Well, you say, I will if she will. No, you will if she won't, and then she will. Well, I will if he will. No, you will if he won't, and then he will. I'm saying many of you people are complaining about the husband you made. You complained about the grouchy wife that you made grouchy. Now, the Apostle Paul said, don't discourage the Holy Spirit. It's his job to encourage you. And you get him down, he can't get you up. As far as the husband-wife concerned. The wife reached her husband with all the bad things that happened that day. He comes in, she says, a snake bit the boy. There's a rat in the basement. Bed bugs on the beds. I'm worn out. Kid's been bad today. And she gets the poor guy down and says, you never do cheer me up. What have you done? Good night, you pulled down. The guy's supposed to pick you up. Now listen, you're crazy. You're insane. You're retarded. And beside that, you're not smart. I'm saying, listen, you need encouragement. And you need people to encourage you. But you cannot have your encourager to encourage you if you discourage your encourager. You know the old story. Fellow was on the Golden Gate Bridge about to jump off. Guy walked up and said, don't, hey, what's the matter? I'm going to end it all. Don't do it. Don't do it. There's something worth living for. Don't do it. Now, I'm going to end it all. I'm going to jump off. He said, give me 10 minutes to talk to you. If I can't talk you out of it, you can go ahead and jump. They talked 5 minutes and both of them jumped. Ladies, you listen to me. You are going to have to create your encourager and encourage the guy you live with if you expect him to encourage you. Fellas, you listen to me. You're going to have to encourage that woman. You know, Miss Hiles here. Miss Hiles encourages me to encourage her. To encourage me. To encourage her. To encourage me. To encourage her. But here's some of your story. You discourage her to discourage you, to discourage her, to discourage you, to discourage her, to discourage you. Now, what you need to do is encourage that wife. Be cheerful around that woman. And then when you get down, she can lift you up. But you pull her down and expect, and then you just know what I need. Well, bless God, nobody'd be what you need if you had to live with you. And my husband, he's not meeting my needs. Your needs is to be shot in the head with a .410 shotgun. Nobody can encourage a crab. If you expect somebody to encourage you, you encourage your encourager. And encourager, don't discourage your encourager. That's why God said the Holy Spirit is grieved. And tonight I'll talk to you about that a little more. But the Holy Spirit is grieved, and He's my comforter, my encourager, and it's my job to encourage Him, not discourage Him, so He can encourage me. Then also, not only husband and wife, but pastor and people. Such statements as this, come unto my door. Dear Brother Hiles, drop dead. No, that's not one of them. I just took the letters of one Sunday, last Sunday, under my door, little notes. One said, Pastor, you always lift me. Another said, Pastor, you're always such an encouragement. Another said, Pastor, you keep our family going. Another said, Pastor, you're always on top. That's true. May I tell you how I stay on top? May I tell you how I always lift you? May I tell you how I try to always encourage you? I'll tell you how. I walk in on Sunday morning. This morning I walked in the door, side door over here, about 7:45. And there are four precious little children waiting just inside the door. to sing to me and to give me a Reese's peanut butter cup. And they sang a little song to me. That encouraged me. I walked down my office, and every Sunday morning there are two little girls waiting in my office door with their dad. These little girls have been doing it for years. They give me a little glass of orange juice every Sunday morning. And they say, "We love you, Brother Hiles," and we chat just a minute or two outside my office door. Then I've got my security guards, and we always cut up with each other and enjoy each other. Then I walk over to meet Brother Randy Erickson, and that's when I go down. I just put that in to see if you're listening, that's all. But I walk over, and the guard I walk with, we enjoy talking with each other. And Brother Randy Erickson's always sitting right down here. Unless it's Lord's Supper Day, then he's up here. He's down here, only have three steps to climb to get up there and look at the record to see how to set the air conditioning. If it's Lord's Supper Day, yeah, I up here, and I have to walk a while and then stop and rest and then finish the trip. And Brother Randy and I, we chit-chat and cut up with each other and enjoy each other. Then I walk back to my office, and then Mrs. Owens and her four children come by, and they tell me they love me and always give me a little snack. And then Mrs. McCarroll comes, and she brings me some orange juice and some vegetable juice. Some good, some bad. You win some, you lose some, you know. But she brings me some, and has been for years. Years and years and years. And in the summertime, this morning, for example, a beautiful bouquet of flowers. And then I walk with my Sunday school class, and there are always a bunch of little children at the door as I walk out to my Sunday school class. And they, some of them tell me they love me. And they give me, one little boy gives me some four little slices of cheese and four little slices of beef stick together. And they tell me they love me, and little children meet me. Then I walk out, and there's some men that walk down the alley with me. And we cut up. Dick Liebig tells me the newest corny joke. Like he said, you know why the Jew walked out of the football game? He said, I want the quarterback. But anyway, that's the kind of jokes he tells me. He discourages his encourager. And then I meet Brother Quotso back here, my favorite WAP, right back there at the back door. And he's always on top side. And then I walk in, and Jerry Smith's here, and I speak to Jerry Smith. He always has a smile for me. And then we have the special music musicians that sing. We always chat a bit before we come in. And then I walk back to my office, and several teenage young ladies are there to shake my hand and to tell me they love me maybe on occasion. And then I walk out to the service, and Mrs. Boardway always says, "Hey, that's my preacher." Anybody can preach after that. You know why? All morning long, you've been encouraging me to encourage you. I used to have a man walk down the alley with me, and he was the most discouraging man I ever met in my life. He'd walk down the alley with me, and right before I walked in that door, he'd say, "Preacher, I want you to know, while you walk in the sacred desk, I'm for you, no matter what they say." And I say, "What did they say?" A little girl wrote me a note not long ago, said, "I love you in spite of the fact nobody else does." What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that you encourage me so I can come here and encourage you. So you can encourage me so I can encourage you. So you can encourage me so I can encourage you. That's what life is all about. Somebody says the Holy Spirit is our encourager. Yeah, but you know how he does it most of the time? Through the people in whose bodies he dwells. It's not coming some kind of a spooky encouragement. It's the Holy Spirit of God that tells me how to lift your spirits and raise your spirits and raise your vision in life and encourage you. And the reason I do it is you encourage me so I can encourage you, so you can encourage me, so I can encourage you. These churches that have critical people that criticize the preacher's preaching, try encouraging him. You're discouraging your encourager. Some of you folks, just to look at you, would discourage me in this. By the way, I don't. I got certain people I won't look at. Most of them sit over here. For 36 years, we've been together. We are happy people. You visitors don't like our kind of services because you're envious of our joy and our happiness. We're happy people. We enjoy coming to church. We don't come to a form of worship service because we don't do the other things that you do to have fun. The only place we go is to church and the grocery store. There's nothing funny at the grocery store. We come to church, why? To be encouraged, to be lifted. And for 36 years, that's what we've done. You've encouraged me. No church has ever been more loyal to a man than you've been to me. No church has ever trusted a man as much as you've trusted me. And no man has ever loved a people as much as I love you or more than I love you. I'm trying to tell you that for 36 years, you've had a happy preacher. You say, Brother House, you've been through some tough times. I don't know it if I am. I just don't look. Used to be a guy in Little Abner. His name was Joe Sputzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitz raining, earthquake, tornado. He didn't know it. He just walked right through it, chewing on a little piece of sweet weed. That's the way I am. I'm happy as a June bug on the last day of May. I'll tell you what, brother. You know why? Because you made me that way. And you're a happy people because I made you that way. You made me happy to make you happy to make me happy to make you happy to make me happy to make you happy. And I want to tell you something. If some of you folks would get the joy of God in your soul and get that grouchy, crabby look off your face and look like you're happy, you might encourage somebody to encourage you. This week I was with a preacher. You see, I constantly look for ways to be encouraged. Because I got to walk through that door on Sunday morning. And you need a preacher up here to be on top. You don't need me to stand up here and say, "Oh, it's been a tough week. Oh, pray for me. The load is heavy. I don't think I can hold out much longer." Now, that you'll sympathize me about 2 weeks. And then you'll go somewhere where somebody can lift your spirits. And most of you are here this morning because you came to get lifted and encouraged. This week a preacher came. I was talking to a preacher. He started talking about something I don't like to talk about. Something that might discourage me. And I stopped him and I said, "Wait a minute. Don't tell me what I don't want to hear. Don't tell. I guard what I hear." You say, "Aren't you willing to get discouraged?" I'm willing to get discouraged, but I'm not willing to get you discouraged. And if I get discouraged, I'll get you discouraged. One Saturday in my office, one of the best men in this church was in my office, and he started to tell me something. It's this kind of a thing. "I want you to know, preacher, I'm with you, boy, to the end. And I was just talking about 400 people the other day that hate your guts, and I wanted you to know I stood up for you." Well, that's one friend to 400 enemies I found out about. And I said to him, I said, "Look, 15 hours from right now, I've got to walk through the door. And I've got to walk to the platform. And I've got several thousand people out there that need to be lifted and encouraged. Now, I can take what you're going to say, but I'm not going to take what you're going to say because I have got to walk out there on top side. If I listen to any more of this, I can't walk out there on top side." And that's why some of you ought to quit listening to a bunch of people that pull you down. But here's what you do. You go to some friend or some doctor or some preacher and talk about your burdens. I don't talk to anybody about my burdens. "Brother House, where do you take your burdens?" I don't talk to anybody. I've never come to you and told you my burdens. I've never, because you are one of them. But I've never come to you and I never come to you guys and tell you about my burdens. Never do. You know why? Because I want you to encourage me. And you can't encourage me if I discourage you. There are certain people I won't be around. There are also certain people I won't talk to on Tuesday or Wednesday or Friday or Saturday. Because if I get some bad news, it hurts. But it hurts for 2 days. After 2 days, I'm okay. So if you got any bad news, tell me on Monday or Thursday. You say, Brother House, don't you? Why? I tell you exactly why. I'm the only pastor you have, and you need somebody to lift you up and give you courage and encouragement and raise your spirits and make you feel like heaven's your home and God's your Father and Jesus is your Savior and the Bible's your book and on top side. But I can't bring you on top side if I walk in that door on bottom side. So you negative gripers, stay away from my office. Certain people I try to be around. For example, I try to be around this man right here. 36 years, Ray Bordway's never brought me one moment. Now this man right here, Moffitt, I steer clear of him. My Bible says you cannot speak the things you've seen and heard. What you see and what you hear, the Bible says you will speak. Which means I've got to be around people that will say things and do things that what I see and hear when I walk up to this pulpit, that I tell you what I've seen and heard, it'll lift your spirits. That's the reason I said a while ago, I never tell my burdens. I have made a science of encouraging my discouragers. And I have made a science of how I can always be on top side so I can encourage you. Tell me when I walk through that door down. Tell me when I walk to this pulpit and said, the burden is heavy. Tell me when I walked up here and sought your pity. Tell me. You say, Brother House, where do you get all that strength? I get it from encouraging you so you can encourage me. I can tell you churches all across America where the people discourage the preacher, to discourage the people, to discourage the preacher, to discourage the people, discourage the preacher, all across America. But thank God, First Baptist Church Hammond is a church where the pastor encourages the people, who encourage the pastor, who encourage the people, who encourage the pastor. And some of you ladies today ought to start it in your family. You'd be amazed what kind of husband you could have with a little extra Gucci goo. A little smoochy, smoochy, woochy, woochy. A little boopsy, whoopsy. A little ticking on the chin. A little roll of the eyes. Like, come over here, big boy. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed. Don't complain about him, Matilda. You made him. You made him. There was a day when he encouraged you enough to get you to give your life to him. Now, from there on, you're the influence on him. Don't complain about your grippy husband. You discouraged him. And before I get away from you, this is Father's Day. I think I'll just preach to the women. I know what your ladies are saying. If that's the case, every Sunday is Father's Day. That's what you're saying. But it just so happens that men happen to be better than women. That's all. No, that's not true. You men say, I've got a wife that's the most negative person I've ever seen. I've had couples in my office in the last few weeks. That's what they say. You're the most negative person I've ever seen. Well, what are you doing right there, buddy? You're criticizing her for being negative. That is being negative. Why don't you try to win her like you used to win her? Buy her some perfume. Bring it home. Give her some advance notice or she'll drop dead. A little bouquet of flowers. Tell her how great she is. Lie. Encourage her. You'll be amazed how much she would encourage you. You know, that really is what the church is for, and that's what it's all about. It's a place where we can come and be lifted. That's why we don't sing the Volga boat song here. That's why we don't sing, amen, amen, amen. Boy, it lifts you, doesn't it? I can sing anything and discourage you. That's why we sing, faith of our fathers living still. That's why we sing, I wandered in the shades of night till Jesus came to me, and with the sunlight of his love did all my darkness flee. That's why we sing, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. That's why we sing, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. And that's why we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. That's why we sing, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. This is not a place to come and be sedated. This is a place to come and be elevated. Let it change your life. Let it change your life. I have the most loyal staff in America. Let me say this without being egotistical, but it's true. I have the most loyal staff in America because they have the most loyal pastor in America. I stand with these fellows, and they stand with me. And I could not tell you how they encourage me. These young men on the platform, such as all of these over here, and these two right here. Sorry, fellas. But all of these men, they encourage this preacher. So I can encourage them. So they can encourage me. So I can encourage them. I don't know what this truth does to you, but it just moves my heart. Jesus said, I will give you an encourager, even the Spirit of Truth. And Paul said, be careful. Don't discourage him. It's his job to encourage you. And if you discourage him, he can't encourage you. And if you pull him down, he can't pull you up. You say, you mean the Holy Spirit can get discouraged? That's exactly what Ephesians 4:30 says. Grieve not the Spirit of Truth. I don't know about you, but I'm going to live my life on topside. I got as many burdens as you have. Maybe, probably no more, but as many. I've got many reasons so many things I want to say right now about certain people, but I don't want to embarrass Brother O'Clair. But I got as many heartaches as you have. I've got as many reasons to say, oh, would you pray for me? I got burdens and heartaches. And then you get down, and I get up here, and I say, preacher, say to their people, you never say amen. Well, you look at your face right now, and you'll know why they don't ever say amen. You get up sometime and get happy and kick a few microphones over and say, hey, Jesus saves! We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. All things are possible to him that believeth. You may get a few folks to respond to your preaching. But you sit there this morning with a chip on your stupid shoulder, complaining about everybody you know that won't help you and won't lift you. When I got down, nobody called. They didn't want to call. They didn't have time. They asked you one time before how you're feeling. Ruined their whole month. May I tell you how to get sympathy? When your heart's breaking, realize you're still a child of God. Your name is still written in heaven. If somebody walks and says, we've been praying for you during your trial, you'll say, boy, Jesus is with me. And you know what? You'll get more sympathy. You sympathize with me. My heart is heavy. The load is bigger than I can bear. Well, why don't you go jump off the Golden Gate Bridge? Go to heaven. They shout up there, but you won't have any fun. Because everybody's happy. Paul said, don't discourage the Holy Spirit. It's His job to encourage you. And God has given us, as the Holy Spirit indwells us, God has given us husbands and wives and mothers and fathers and pastors and teachers and friends and churches in whom this Holy Spirit dwells. And He wants to use them as His tools with which to encourage you. But if you pull them down, they can't lift you up. Don't discourage the encouragers. Shall we pray? No one...